You're listening to this week's message from San Marcos Community Church in San Marcos, Texas. For more information, visit www.sanmarcoscommunitychurch.org.
So I just got back from a trip to the coast, Galveston Coast, with some people. It was fun with Pursuit. We went and we were blessed to have this great condo to stay in just for a couple days. Kind of little mini retreat thing that we went on. And as we were in the car, I was in my Jeep, and the top was already on, so it was really loud. You couldn't hear anybody talking at all in it, going like 50, 60, 70, 80 miles an hour down the road. It's just so loud anyway. And I also warned everyone in the car that, just so you guys know, when I get around like 45 miles an hour, there's this thing that my car does that just starts to shake it violently, like the worst shaking you've probably ever experienced. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this in a car before, but for some reason, I got to get something tightened down there. Somebody came up to me after the first service and they're like, "I got a word for you, brother. You're off balance." And I thought he was talking spiritually. I was like, "What? What are you?" He's like, "No, like you just need to balance your tires." I was like, "Oh, okay." But but anyway, there's like this sweet spot. Like I know it's around 45 miles an hour that it's going to go one way or the other where it just starts a little bit, and then it just, by about 10 seconds into it, I'm like literally, like if you've ever ridden in my car, I don't know if you've experienced that. Kareem probably has, Kwani has. How terrifying it can be. It is very, very scary, but it's fine. I mean, nothing's wrong with it. Too much. But that's like a sweet spot. I know like conditions are perfect for this terrible thing to happen. And the same thing can happen. The sweet spot of like if in acoustics, I know you could be in the sweet spot of a room where you're hearing two speakers and it's in the sound sounds exactly how it should sound. Or in sports, when you're going up to bat, you're at the right level, you know, your legs are bent. Your arms up at the right level, and you swing, and the bat, the kinetic energy makes the potential energy just so much, and really, that's the sweet spot in sports too. But I feel like there's a sweet spot with God that we can be too, and that's where I feel like lately I've kind of been, and I feel like God's kind of revealing to me why that is, and so I want to talk about that, living in the sweet spot. With God, where we're just kind of moving with him, we're hearing from him, we're obedient to him, and we're just, it's flowing, you know? I don't know if you've ever been in that position before, but there's been times in my life here and there, I think, when I've been in that sweet spot, but I feel like this week specifically, God's given me a word on living in that and staying in that sweet spot and allowing him to flow through me more than just once a week or something like that. And so I got that out of John 15. That's what God's been really showing me. If you guys would turn there, John 15, where Jesus is talking about being the vine and we are the branches. And I don't know if you've read this before, but basically Jesus is saying this about 12 hours before he does the greatest thing in all of history and dies on the cross for us. And he's leaving his disciples alone. And he's basically saying, before I go, here's what you need to know. You're not going to be alone. You can still have me in you. I've been trying to disciple you this whole time, but yet when I leave, I won't really leave because I'm going to be in you, and I'm going to abide in you, and I'm going to live in you just like the vine and the branches. And so, again, this is about 12 hours before he dies on the cross, and it says here in John 15, verses 1 through 11, he says, "I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain on the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Amen. That is something that Jesus is leaving them with almost, you know, just before his crucifixion. And this has given me a lot of encouragement this week, because I looked at this in a way, I feel like God's shown me this in a way that I've never seen it before. And as a result of that, I feel like, well, the reason that I feel like God showed me this is because of just being in a growth group. And just for a second to talk about that, I mean, a growth group is just a small group of two or three guys. For me, me and two other guys meet together once a week, and we've been reading through all the Gospels. And this is something where God stopped me and said, hey, look at John 15 again. You know, that's where you really can really live this out. And so, anyway, I just feel like God's showing me about how we can live with God remaining in us every day of our lives. And I've been doing that this week, and so I'm excited to share that with you. So the first thing that we have to do, I think, as followers of Christ, and that Jesus is leaving us with right here, is he says it in verse 5 specifically, is that we need complete dependence on God. We, like this vine, or like this branch, we have to depend on Christ for every bit of life that we could possibly get. Otherwise, we're a dried up, dead branch that is not bearing any fruit. And so it says in verse 4, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain on the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Abiding in Christ relies on this fact that we have to remain dependent on our Father, on our only life source, the only true life source that we could possibly have. And it's vital for anything crucial, anything that's worth anything to happen in us. It says even in Matthew 16:25, Jesus says, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Once you've given up everything, then will God be able to really work in you. And I've realized this pretty recently. And when I first came to know the Lord, I gave up everything. You know, it was like, God, I've never experienced your love before. I basically told him he has access to every part of my life, every part of my mind and thoughts and desires and dreams. I gave it all up to him. But then as my relationship continued with him, he started pinpointing certain things that still needed to be surrendered. You know, for some reason, we still hang on to different parts of our lives, and we don't even realize it a lot of times. God won't show us those things until later in our walk. But since day 3, probably, of becoming a Christian, God's always revealed to me, that's pretty bad, that, hey, you need to really take time in the morning before you get up, and you need to spend time with me. You know, you need to surrender all of your time to me. But specifically, I want you to get up an hour before, and I've done that before in the past, like here and there, spotty, like, okay, well, I feel really awake right now, so I'm going to get up early, or on a Saturday when I can sleep in anyway, you know, I can, you know, seek God for that hour. But what God really wanted was for me to take an hour out of my sleep time and really just devote the first moment of my day to him. And God revealed that to me last week when John was preaching about service, and I was sitting right over there, and I just felt like, God, all right, I'm going to finally do this. He had us write down one thing that we really feel like God's telling us to do, and I'm like, this is it, God. I'm going to do this. I'm finally going to surrender my hour, you know, as big deal, you know. Surrender that hour to you, God. And for some reason, that was something I just had always been holding on to. But only when we completely give up every part of our lives will God really be able to shine light in those dark places and show us things he never showed us before, that everything will be on the table. And so that's what he's done with me, and I feel like that's what he did when we recently went to youth camp with the youth group a couple weeks ago. We went to student life camp up in Arlington, took a group of 20, 25 people total, but 22 youth group kids all the way up there. And God was moving in a way I'd never seen him move before in our group. And I'd attribute a lot of that, most of that, to their surrender of him in their lives. And when we got there the first night, we talked to the guys, and all the guys shared kind of what God was telling them maybe to give up, or something that God was showing them. And then the second night, we all of us in a big group, there were about 22 of us, and guys and girls, and we were kind of talking about what God was doing in our hearts. And then one girl said, well, I need prayer because I need prayer for my anger problems. And so, like, all right. So all the youth group gathered around her and started praying over her, laid hands on her, and something broke spiritually where suddenly she just started sobbing, and it was like this uncontrollable sob that was very evident that God was working it in her heart, because, you know, finally, maybe she surrendered some area of her life. I mean, that was probably a big deal for her to get prayer like that, and God broke through. And then about 5 minutes later, students started praying for each other that hadn't even really asked for prayer, and it became, after about 5 minutes, it became this big worship prayer circle in the middle of a college dorm lobby. And the leaders, me, Ashley, and John Hatfield, kind of took a step back, and we're like, wow, look at what God's doing. Like, kids praying for other kids, calling out prophetic words to them, and just praying things over them that it's like I didn't know they had it in them, you know, but it's Christ in them doing that. And so it's kind of like they were completely surrendered that night to what God wanted. And the deeper they got, the more they were surrendered. You know, it was like everything was on the table. It was like if God was convicting them of dropping some friends that were pulling them down, they wanted to give that for God. If God was calling them to go pray for somebody across the room, they wanted to go do that. It was basically, we surrender everything to you, God, and that is the only time, I think, when God will really begin to abide in us. And so I think that was cool for them to experience, but also cool for me to experience that God's doing something totally new, and it wasn't leader-led, it was all Jesus-led, it was all Holy Spirit-led. And so God pinpoints certain things in our hearts when we surrender up to him. You know, when we're in times of worship, when we give up, when we just spend time in prayer, and that's something that I've really appreciated about Monday night prayer and this focus that we have this summer on the Word of God and prayer, is that through prayer is where God will really start showing you things that you need to surrender up to him that you haven't yet. And there are things that maybe if you don't have any joy in your life, or you just feel like it's just a routine with God, if you spend time in prayer, God's going to start revealing things to you that you maybe did not realize you hadn't surrendered yet. And only he can pick out the right things to tell you. And I've experienced that tons of times in my life, but I think we're just so used to controlling our own life, or controlling our own happiness, or controlling everything about our own lives, that we're very consumed with ourselves to even let go of control. Let God do, you know, the old let go and let God. But we feel like we have our lives so lined up with our schedules, and we kind of know, you know, what we like and what we want to do. But God will pinpoint specifically things in our lives that we're holding on too tightly to. And so it says in Isaiah 55 that, God, your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Your ways are greater than my ways. God, you know me. You know the inside of me. You know the outside of me. You see me when I sit, when I stand. You know every part of me, God. So why don't you tell me what I need to surrender? You know, so a lot of times we know, like, okay, God, I want to surrender you. But in the process of becoming a disciple, Jesus will show us more and more things. A lot of those kids said, I need to give up friends. I need to give up the music I listen to. And that was all God specifically saying it to each one of them individually. And that's the Holy Spirit doing a big work. You know, he'll tell us and pinpoint exactly what needs to be done. And so the life of surrender, of dependence, of obedience, it starts in this mindset of, God, I'm just a vine, I'm just a branch, and you're the vine, you're the life source, and I can't get life outside of you ever. And no matter how much I try other avenues, there's no way that I could ever be happy, never be really satisfied unless I'm completely surrendered to you, God, and letting you, the vine, breathe life into me. So surrender is, I think, maybe if this is a process, the first step in that process of allowing God to abide in us. The second is when God specifically tells you something that you need to surrender, now comes what you might say the hard part, the obedience part, to actually obey and to carry that out and to be obedient to the word that God's given you. And that's all Jesus is saying here before he leaves. Just do what I've told you to do and you'll be fine. Surrender, you know, treat me like you need me for every single breath, and then just be obedient because I'm a good God, I love you, and I'm going to stay with you. That's what that word abide means, to abide in me or to remain in me, some versions say, to continue on, to dwell in me, to constantly let the Spirit of God flow through you, you know, have that sweet spot where it's really just God's flowing through you. It says in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And so this if-then statement is kind of like, well, it's easy to take that the wrong way and say, well, if I make sure that I'm good on every single one of these 10 commandments, if I make sure I read through every single command that God says, then God will love me. Once I reach this point where I'm doing everything the right way, only then will God love me. But that's not right. And we have to look at who God is. God is a loving God who wants the best for us. And I recently heard this sermon by John Piper, and he talked about, all right, let's take a look at all the commands in John, because this is in John 15. Let's look at what is being talked about here. When Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. If you keep my commands, you'll abide in my love. So here's just a quick run-through of all the commands. This is not all of them, but overwhelmingly amount of the commands that Jesus is talking about. He says, receive me, follow me, get up, lame man, and walk. Lazarus, rise from the dead, and come forth. Believe in the light, believe in me, abide in my love, receive the Holy Spirit. And John is full of these commands, if you want to call them that, but more invitations to join up with me. It's not, you know, you have to jump through all these hurdles. A lot of Jesus' commands, yeah, there's some that say love your brother, you know, love each other the way that I love you. But overwhelmingly in John, these commands are join me in what I'm doing. This is an invitation for you. And so when God is putting something on your heart and you surrender your life to him, he's going to give you specifically what to do, but that's all for your good and for his glory. A lot of these commands that God gives us are even if statements. If you want to, join up with what I'm doing. He says, if you drink of my water, you'll never go thirsty. If you follow me, you won't walk in darkness. I'm the light of the world. And so God calls us to be obedient, but he calls us to be obedient to good commands from a good God who loves us, who wants to help us, who wants nothing more than for us to be whole and free and joyful. You know, we have a good God who loves us. Why wouldn't we listen to his commands? And so lately I've been kind of in that place where, in that mode where when God told me that thing when I was in the pew over here, not the pew, in the chair, and he said, I want you to get up an hour early. I said, that's it. I'm going to do it. You told me so many times, again and again, I'm finally going to be obedient, Lord. And I did it all every day this week. The first day was easy because I was excited about it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to, this hour, it went by so fast. But God showed me things that I don't think he ever would have showed me had I not been obedient. For example, Jason Worthington, his dad was recently admitted to the hospital because they found a mass. I don't know if you know Jason Worthington. He helps with the little kids in the elementary school, elementary program. He's also in my growth group with Dusty. And so anyway, he told us all, he was like, hey, my dad, they found a mass in his head and we're not sure what it is. It could be a tumor. It could be cancerous. It could be anything. I mean, could you guys just please pray for me? And so his dad went to the, and the other thing is that Jason really hasn't prayed with his family before, and they know he's a Christian, but he really desires for them to really follow God more. And so anyway, the first day that I had this time with God where I was being obedient, he pressed on my heart really to specifically pray for that situation, but that I remember God saying that, just putting on my heart that the doctors would be baffled as to what happened. You know, they found a mass, but now they're doing all these tests, and my prayer, God, is that they wouldn't find anything and they would be just baffled, you know? And so that was my prayer, the next day, or not, maybe an hour later, he texted me and he said, hey, they didn't find any cancer and they're doing more tests, but just keep praying. And then they sent back, then 2 days later, he gave me another update and saying that everything from the neck down is completely fine. He's got no tumor. He's got no cancer. There's nothing, you know, they're still doing tests to figure out what this thing was or what's going on. But really, he was basically saying that they were baffled. They didn't know what originally happened. And their guess as to what happened. There may be, I don't know, I'm still waiting to hear the final verdict, but I'm waiting to hear specifically that doctors really have no idea what in the world happened. And so I just wonder, had I not been obedient, God wouldn't have built my faith in that way. God wouldn't have had me pray specifically at that moment, because an hour later I got the good news, you know. I just feel like God is bringing me to that point this week. Every day that I was obedient, just in that little, you know, small thing of obedience, he filled me up with joy and built my faith. And now I'm never going to go back. You know, I'm never going to be, you know, waking up late anymore. But I really feel like God did that out of the goodness of his heart, about really just drawing me into a closer relationship with him. And now I'm addicted to obedience. It's like every little thing that I feel like, God, are you telling me to do that? I do it right away. And I mean, of course, I fail once in a while, but it feels good to be obedient to God because he made it that way. You know, he invited us into something great. Why wouldn't we? And so he says, if you keep my commands, then my love will abide in you. It just makes sense. And later on in John, well, he says it a few times. It's interesting throughout John 14 and 15. He says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And he says again, if you obey my commands, you'll love me. If you obey me, you'll obey my or if you love me, you'll obey my commands. Then if you obey my commands, then my love will abide in you, and the love of the Father will be in you. And he says all these things. He kind of flips it around a couple times, and it's really cool because I see this like cycle that happens, that Jesus didn't just, you know, say those things in that order for no reason, but that he's trying. I feel like he's showing me that there's this cycle of love that happens where God loves us so much, and that's the story of the gospel, that he loves us so much that he gave his only son for us. And then out of that love, you just want to be obedient. You want to do whatever that person wants because you love, because they showed you such great love. I don't know if you have a relationship like that, but sometimes if somebody just pours out their love on you, you want to obey them because you appreciate them and you love them. And so God loves us and we want to obey. And then he says, when you obey my commands, then you'll experience more of my love. And then when you experience more of my love, you'll want to obey more. And it's like this awesome love cycle that happens as we're obedient. We experience more of his love. And it's not this, I'm going to do as much as I can so I can get as much love of God as I possibly can. But it's God's revealing, he didn't love me any more or any less this week than he did last week, but he's revealing to me more about how much he does love me. And that's awesome because that's a lifelong pursuit. God will continue to show us. And I love that relationship between loving his commands, love and his commands. And so the result is life, is him abiding in me. He built my faith when I took that step of faith. And he's going to do it again. And I think that it breaks down sometimes when we just stop being obedient, you know? We forget how much God loves us, and we just kind of trail off. And we forget the things that God has said, and we forget what we need to do to be obedient. We just kind of drift away. God hasn't changed at all. He's always inviting us, though, back to him and back to that love cycle. And so it's for our own good that God calls us to this. It says in 1 John 3:24, the one who keeps my commands abides in him, and he in him. And we know that by this he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. We know that Christ is abiding in you because of the Holy Spirit that's working inside of you. When Jesus was leaving his disciples in John 15, he was saying, don't worry, there is the Holy Spirit that will be living in you. I'm going to still abide in you. You just got to, what he was saying in John, receive me, follow me, believe in the light, believe in me. Keep seeking the Lord and let that process happen. And I was really encouraged by John Hatfield. We went to camp 2 weeks ago, and he was one of the leaders, and he's the leader of the high school youth group, and he gets up every day at 5:30 in the morning and prays specifically for each kid throughout a span of 2 weeks, and God reveals to him in those moments of he's surrendering his time, and God reveals to him through the Holy Spirit words for specific kids. And that's exactly a huge reason I think why camp worked so well too, is because God was ready to move already. God, we've been praying, and the Monday night prayer group was praying as well, but we were seeking God and surrendering and hearing his word, and that's what John was doing. And even during camp for 5 days, he would get up at 5:30. I would hear him walking around. I'd be like, turn that light off, and I'd roll over, and I'd be like, all right, you can go pray. I'll be sleeping. And I did pray for our kids, don't worry. But, you know, that's something where he meets God, and that was very encouraging for me to see, to think, wow, he's really expecting God to move. He really is obedient to God, and it's not out of I have to, it's out of I can't wait to hear what God's going to say about each one of these kids. And God spoke to him specifically. God used him a lot, and he used me a lot too. Even the night before we left, Thursday night, we were all praying, and we surrendered that night to God. We prayed for 3 hours for each kid individually, and God gave all three of us leaders words for those kids because we surrendered everything to him. And now it's time, God's spoken to you youth group kids, and now it's time to be obedient, right? Right, be obedient in what God said. Why? For joy, for joy's sake, for your freedom. And so that's pretty awesome that this process is happening where God invites us into a relationship with him. He asks us to surrender, and he'll keep doing that throughout our relationship with him. Then it's up to us to be obedient in those things. But the whole reason that Jesus is even saying this, and he's saying that abide in me, live in me, empty yourself so that I can work in you. The whole reason he's doing that is in verse 11, he says, these things I spoke to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy might be complete, so that your joy might be full. The reason I want me to keep abiding in you and I want you to keep listening to my commands and obeying me, the whole reason I'm doing that is so that you will be joyful. Joy is a good thing, right? Joy is a fruit of the Spirit that can only come from God. It cannot be manufactured in any way. Any feeling of joy or happiness that is coming to you apart from God is not this is what I'm talking about here. Joy only comes from the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that is why the sweet spot, living in the sweet spot, is so good. God said to me, he's like, I just feel like he told me that this living in the sweet spot is for our good and it's for his glory. It's for our good because we get to experience joy. We get to experience joy because we have a Savior who loves us, who no matter what we do, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And I was just reading this book by Jim Cimbala called Spirit Rising, and in it he says, happiness and joy are very different. Happiness is circumstantial and elusive, but joy is not circumstantial. We can have joy even when we're not happy. Joy is different from happiness. If the situation is right, anyone can experience happiness. Even people who don't know God or curse God can be happy, but they don't have joy for that blessing in life has a totally different source. The source of joy only comes from the Lord. And I was reading Facebook. We're all on Facebook, right? some people hate it. I teach over at Texas State, and I force my kids to have Twitter. So teach media, School of Journalism. But Facebook, I just recently read a post on Facebook. Somebody had mentioned, hey, you know, or they just posted on Facebook, I'm not very happy. And, you know, what can help? And I just saw that my brother Andrew Morgan posted something that really ministered to me. And he wrote, you know what happiness is? It's really found in surrender. Because when you surrender everything, and I was like, that is a word from God, because that's something I was going through anyway, is where when I surrendered my time to God, when I surrendered those mornings to God, the only thing I felt after that was joy. It was like, it was, sometimes you kind of feel guilty for not spending time with God, or you're insecure because maybe you didn't follow God, you just maybe have been ignoring him. But when you're obeying God and listening to him, suddenly you just feel joyful. You feel like, wow, I've got nothing, no sin right now on my plate that I can see that I need to get rid of. It just feels good, but joy is for our good. It transcends our circumstances, so that even when things are going terrible around us, we can still remain joyful. It's like when everybody's at the river this morning, we're all hot in here. I think an AC broke, actually. I've heard about that. We can still be joyful, but, you know, like the people at the river right now, they're pretty happy, right? But as soon as a big rain cloud comes over, everybody's running for their cars. They're not so happy anymore. And it's very circumstantial. And I was just having this conversation with my friend, David, who I've known since I became a Christian. He was my roommate in college. And he noticed that when I first got home from this retreat that I had been on, that I was a completely different person. And I was trying to tell people all about what God did in my heart, and he didn't understand it. He's known me since eighth grade, and he was just didn't understand it. And so for 10 years now, I've known him, and he's one of my best friends, and it breaks my heart that he doesn't have the joy that I have. He doesn't understand it. And so we were just talking about future plans, and he has traveled. I mean, he's going, living in Korea and living in Japan, seeing all these places, always posting pictures online about all these things. And in my heart, I'm like, that would kind of make me happy, you know, to go traveling a little bit and kind of see the world and do that, you know. And he was asking me, like, well, what are you staying in San Marcos? What are your plans and all that? And I'm like, I'm here until God calls me anywhere else. And the joy that I experience being here surpasses any amount of happiness that I could ever get anywhere else. It's a feeling of complete excitement and just being satisfied with what God is doing that surpasses any happiness that I, you know, praying with a kid, you know, a few years ago, this is when I first realized this. It was like at a youth event, a Youth United thing that we had with other youth groups in the area. We were just praying for kids. It was like a call to come to the front and the stage. And a kid came up to me, and he confessed to me that he had attempted suicide two nights before. He needs help, and he doesn't know where else to turn. And I got to pray for him that night. And I was like, God, the joy of being part of what you're doing is greater than any, you know, happiness that I could seek for myself, you know. Being at Texas State where I am, where God has me, he provided that job for me. Being able to, sometimes I get to pray for students. Sometimes I get to, you know, obviously I get to minister to the high school kids and to the, but, you know, that joy surpasses any happiness that I could ever, traveling, it's like, okay, that might make me happy for a little bit, but, and that was our conversation that I had with David was, you know, I was like, well, he was just telling me that, you know, San Marcos, you know, don't you want to live in a big city and all this kind of stuff? And I was like, you know, I love it. I love what God's doing. I love the way that he's working. And until he tells me otherwise, I'm here and I love it. He kind of didn't understand that, but that's okay. Because that joy that I have, it's uncircumstantial. God's called me here. God's called you where you are for a reason. And the joy of being obedient in that is, will surpass any happiness that you could ever chase. And so it's for our good, because it's a great feeling. It's a great state of being, a state of continuing on. But also it's for God's glory. When things are going crazy around you, you can be the one who's still joyful despite all the crazy situations at work or in your home. You can still remain joyful because Christ is allowing himself to abide in you, to pour himself into you and be obedient. And it's not going to be easy, but I think there's ministries that maybe God put on your heart, or even something like as simple as being obedient in coming to Monday night prayer or joining a growth group. That's not something that everybody feels like they want to join a growth group, but for some people, God's called you to do it, and he's asking you to surrender that. And I feel like in my growth group, I've experienced more joy doing that than I have in any other Bible study I've ever been part of. And I know a lot of people here can testify to their growth group doing the same thing, because God's just asking you to surrender every part of your life. And he's going to keep doing it and keep doing it so that you can experience his joy. And so that's where I've kind of been lately with it's just an hour a day for me, you know, and God's asking me to do other things to be obedient. But like I said, it's addicting because, you know, I want to do the things of the Lord, and the joy of it is just so rewarding. So I think in Hebrews 12:2, it also says, I just think of Jesus and his life, and I just got done reading through John, and it just touched me again, the life that Jesus lived in the way that he loved his disciples, the way that he loved everyone that he was with, and he was crucified on the cross for us, and the reason that he died on the cross is so interesting to me. It says in Hebrews 12:2, it says, "Who for the joy set before him endured the cross." Jesus said, "God, I surrender my whole entire life to you." He lived a life of surrender, complete surrender, and complete obedience. And to endure the cross and say that's something that's joyful, to me that's really encouraging, because I'm not being called to carry a cross and be crucified on it. But God called me to some things that are hard to do, some things to endure, some things to continue on with. And the outcome of that is joy. Jesus experienced it. He had absolute self-surrender and self-sacrifice. And so I just think of like our circumstances, the people we come across to, medical problems. You know, life happens. And cares of the world will try to choke the joy that you have away. But it's always like just to stay in that state of surrender and obedience, I think, is the only way that we can experience true joy. And so I'm kind of going to close with this. A song I really want to sing, I feel like the Lord is putting on my heart. He's been putting on my heart lately, but also my prayer is that we'd all really just surrender every part of ourselves to God. And maybe while I've been talking, God's putting something on your heart to specifically that you need to surrender. Maybe, like, sometimes I'm praying and I don't even know until God shows me something, puts his finger on something in my heart, and then it's up to me to obey. But what we're going to do is we're going to sing this song, "I Surrender All to Jesus." And I want you to pray, and I'm going to pray that God would show us specific areas of our lives that need to be surrendered. Because there's still areas of our lives that we're holding on to, control. We love ourselves. We love taking control of situations. And I just want to pray that we would receive this song in a heart of complete surrender. Everything's on the table here. Every part of your life, every part of my life, our families, our friends, our reputation. Just what is that one thing that God's asking you to really surrender? And I believe that he'll show you. And then we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal exactly what we need to do about those situations. The thing about when God tells us something we need to surrender, then he's going to give us some steps as to exactly what you need to do to experience this joy that I'm talking about. there are things that we need to do to be obedient. And it's not because God is forcing your hand to be obedient. It's because he loves you. And so we're going to sing this song, and so I'm just going to ask that you would really just ask God to surrender, that you would surrender your whole heart to God, and then also that the Holy Spirit would specifically tell you and me what we need to do to be obedient.
Stand up and sing this with me. And all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give, and I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. And I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. And all to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior wholly thine, and let me feel thy Holy Spirit, and truly know that thou art mine. And I surrender all to you, Lord. And I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to you, Lord. Yes, I surrender my all. God, I surrender all. And all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. And all to Jesus I surrender, Lord. I give myself to thee. Oh, fill me with thy love and power, and let thy blessing fall on me. And I surrender all to you, Lord. Yes, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Let's sing one more time with our voices. And I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
We're going to keep worshiping up here in the front, but I feel like if God has called you specifically to do something, he's put his finger on your heart, you have to respond in some way. And so I would just invite the prayer teams to come forward, and if there is anything that God's shown you, we want to pray that God would seal the work that he's done today, and that just that you would experience the joy that only comes from the Lord. So come up for prayer. We're going to continue worshiping the Lord. And I just pray that we continue to allow the Lord to abide in us by giving up everything, surrendering everything to Him and His will, and really living a life of abiding and being like this vine, being like this branch who's living on the vine. And so if you want prayer for anything, if there's something specific God's putting on your heart, come forward. We want to pray with you. We're going to kind of be dismissed officially here, but we'll see you tomorrow at Monday Night Prayer. I'm going to keep worshiping for those who want to stay.